This morning's reading is from 1 Thessalonians, commencing at chapter 1, and verses 1 to 10, and that can be found on page 956 in the Pew Bibles, or you can follow it overhead. Page 956. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath.
Thank you for that reading. Friends, I've been using the Bible in 1 year Bible app end of last year. I mentioned that to our services and a number of people started using that by Nikki Gumbel, Bible in 1 year Bible app. And for those who have been using it, I hope you found it helpful. Interested to know, if you are using that app, can you raise your hand? Just to see how many have taken it up, a number of people around the place. If you don't have anything, thank you. Look that up. But on Wednesday in the Bible app, he told a story about Shane Taylor. Shane Taylor was considered one of the most dangerous men in the UK prison system. Originally jailed for attempted murder, he had his sentence extended by 4 years when he attacked a prison officer with a broken glass, setting off a riot. He was put in a segregation unit inside a maximum security prison. He was given his food through a hatch. His door was not opened unless there were six officers armed with riot shields waiting outside. Scary man. Later, he was transferred to Long Larton Maximum Security Prison, where he was invited to do the Alpha Course, which is an evangelistic course set up by Holy Trinity Brompton, where Nikki Gumbel is the lead pastor. It says, during the course, he prayed, Jesus Christ, I know you died on a cross for me. I hate who I am, who I've become. Please forgive me and come into my life. At that moment, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He went running out onto the wing, telling everyone he could find, Jesus is real. His behavior changed so much that he went from living in total segregation to getting a trusted job in the prison chaplaincy. He prayed for the prison officers and for his enemies, and when he came out of prison, he got involved in the church. He met a young woman called Sam, who also had a tough life and been involved with drugs and criminal activity. She also came to faith in Jesus. Now they are married and have 5 children. Talking to Shane now, it is hard to imagine that he is the same person who terrified so many people in the past. He has experienced the wonder of God's great love, says from Psalm 17. He says, Jesus has shown me how to love and how to forgive. He has saved me. He has forgiven me for what I've done. He has turned my life around. Friends, God is in the business of turning lives around, transforming lives and bringing glory to his name. And our vision is to see lives transformed through Jesus Christ to the glory of God. And this morning, I want to take the Thessalonian church as a great example of how God takes the preaching of the gospel to transform lives and to bring newness of life to people. Now, Paul and his companions visited Thessalonica, the capital of the Roman province of Macedonia, in AD 49 or 50. He's on his second missionary journey, accompanied by Silas, Timothy, and Luke. You read about it in Acts chapter 17. And what he did when he went to Thessalonica, he went to the Jewish synagogue for three Sabbaths. Some of the Jews believed, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks, and not a few prominent women, it says. But many believed, but then a violent opposition from the Jews led to a riot in the city. He preaches the gospel, people get saved, and there's a riot in the city. Sometimes the gospel leads to terrible opposition. This week, I think another 30 believers killed in the Democratic Republic of Congo, macheted to death because they are followers of Christ. And for Paul, here it was, a riot in the city. They had to smuggle him out of the city for his own protection. Christ-centered preaching and ministry often leads to opposition, whether it's overseas or in Australia. They then moved to Berea, until the Jews from Thessalonica heard that he was in Berea. They stirred up the crowds and they followed him to Berea. And Paul was sent away while Silas and Timothy stayed at Berea, preaching from place to place, and there's opposition. Paul was then in Athens waiting for them, and Timothy and Silas returned to Thessalonica to see how the church was going. They had to escape quickly. What are they doing? Are they going on with Christ? Have they been transformed by Jesus Christ to the glory of God? And it says, Timothy has now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. Paul then writes his letter to address a number of issues that the church was dealing with. But chapter 1 is a beautiful encouragement to the church. What were they like? Firstly, a community which lives in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 1. It says, Paul and Silas and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. Friends, an authentic church is living in, rooted in, drawing its life from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Its viability and strength comes not from itself, but comes from an external force, that's God, whom we're in a relationship with. You see, a church that is God glorifying is God centered and God dependent. That's what we want to be here at Nawi. It's not a social club, it's not a cricket club, a golf club, a craft group. It's a church rooted in God. It has a relation with God. We are a group like no one else in the universe. But why does Paul mention that right here at the beginning? Well, it's plausible because they were suffering opposition and persecution, that they needed to be reminded they were secure in God, that God was on their side. They didn't fight these battles alone. They did it in God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is God who gives strength, God gives stability. Friends, it is God who gives us strength and stability. We are in God, the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our strength comes from him, not from ourselves. We live for the spread of his fame and the glory of his name. We magnify God, not ourselves, because it is not us who do anything here. It is God in us and through us. I love Isaiah 26, verse 8. Yes, Lord, walking in the ways of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and renown or your fame are the desire of our hearts. We're a church that seeks to magnify God, to lift him up, to showcase his glory, because we know we are in him and our strength is in him, not in ourselves. Philippians 2 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. People come to Christ, transformed by him, to the glory of God the Father. In 1 Corinthians 10, we are told, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Friends, we know here at Nawi Baptist that everything we have is a gift of God. We are in God and in the Lord Jesus. We give him the glory, we magnify him. And Paul says grace and peace. Grace, God's favour, peace, reconciliation with God. He blesses them with those two words, powerful words of what we have in Christ. But secondly, they are a community distinguished by faith, hope, and love, verses 2 and 3, because they might be in God and in the Lord Jesus, but what are they like? How do they live? How do they minister? What's their character like? We always thank God for all of you mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Friends, their lives were transformed by God, and Paul wants to encourage them. But the way in which he encourages them, he says, we always thank God for you. We mention you in our prayers. We continually remember you before God. And I want you to note that memory, remembering someone, thanksgiving and prayer belong together. And so I ask you today, as we start a new year, have you remembered someone this week, given thanks for them, and prayed for them? Have you remembered someone this week? Have you thanked God for them, prayed for them? Maybe a brother or sister in Christ. It's been an encouragement to you. Maybe your home group leader who's about to start leading your group. Maybe the youth leaders who are going to lead your kids. Maybe the Sunday school teacher, the kids' church leaders who are right now teaching your kid. Have you remembered them? Have you thanked God for them? And have you prayed for the power of God to be at work in them, through them? Paul says, we remember you, we thank God for you, we remember you, and we pray for you. Have you remembered the missionaries who are serving sent out from this church? Whether in Lebanon, Nepal, or Malawi, or Indonesia, have you remembered them, given thanks for them, and prayed for them? May it be a stimulus today, a challenge today, to think about brothers and sisters in the church here and those who have gone out. Remember, give thanks, and pray for them. But what is it that he prays for specifically? Is that we note your faith, your work produced by faith, and true faith works. True faith works, right? If someone comes to an RWE Baptist Church and says, well, I have a faith in Jesus, and I'm at peace with God, I'm going to heaven, and it doesn't work, I've got to call into question their faith. You see, true faith leads to obedience. True faith leads to action, to service, to ministry, to evangelism, weekly and beyond, to chaplaincy, to kids leaders, to scripture teachers, to putting food hampers together, to craft groups. True faith works. Where are you working? And love labours. I love that. Vic's labouring at the moment. It's going to be a bit more labouring in the next few days. Now, most of our labour is not going to be that hard. Sorry to remind you. But it says, we labour, right? It's hard work. And when you labour, you get tired. He says, we've heard about your church, Paul says, and love labours. You keep going. You go the hard yards. You go the long hours, the sleepless nights. Because you care about people. And you care about the lost. You care about the glory of God. Love labours. And sometimes you think, oh, I've laboured enough. I don't want to labour anymore. There's a place for resting for a period. But some people rest year after year after year after year, amen? And I'm saying, at what point will you start laboring for Jesus? Because if God has called us to a Christ-like character, maturity, and if Christ has called us to ministry in his name for his glory, there's got to be a point we've got to start laboring. True faith works, and love labors, and hope endures. You have one eye on the second coming of the Lord Jesus, the Lord's return. It leads to endurance and perseverance and patient fortitude in face of opposition. You're going to keep going because you know Christ is coming back. You know there's a judgment to come. You know people's eternity is at stake. And I must say, Nawi, I rejoice when I think of you because your faith works, your love labours, and your hope endures. That's why God does what he does through us here at Nawi Baptist Church. Can I encourage you to keep working, keep labouring, keep enduring, even in the midst of trials. Thirdly, a community loved and chosen by God, verse 4. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you. We are members of God's church. When God chooses us and brings us into his family, we become family. The Bible uses the image of family and membership. We are a family together. Now, the whole idea of God choosing us, the doctrine of election, sometimes causes some people difficulties and questions. And God doesn't provide too many answers other than to assert that he chooses us because he loves us. Deuteronomy says, the Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples, but it was because the Lord loved you. Why did God choose Israel? Because God chose to love them in his sovereign plan to save the world. Thessalonians, Paul unites the love of God and the election of God. John Stott puts it this way: He chose us because He loves us, and He loves us because He loves us. He does not love us because we are lovable, but only because He is love. And with that mystery, we must rest content. But here, the doctrine of election, that God has chosen us, is an encouragement to the church under persecution. What will keep you? You are in God, the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. God has chosen you. You are safe. You are secure. Trust in Him. Two bases for their security. The preachers. He says in verse 5, he mentions that the gospel came to them with words, power, and the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. God was clearly at work. They know He has chosen them. And the people's response, they accepted the message with joy, which in turn produced faith, hope, and love. It was evidence that they were chosen and loved, and God was at work. Fourthly, a community that receives and transmits the gospel. An authentic church both receives the gospel, and the Thessalonians received it, but then transmit it to others. Again, John Stott writes, the gospel creates the church, which spreads the gospel, which creates more churches, which in their turn spread the gospel further ad infinitum. This is God's plan for ongoing evangelism through local churches. Verse 5, let's have a look at this. It says, the gospel came to the Thessalonians. It didn't come by itself. It just came. It came not dropped by a parachute. No, Paul, Silas, and Timothy brought it. Before they arrived, there was no church. After they arrived and preached the gospel, they planted and it had taken root, the gospel came. In other words, if you want to see people saved, it's not just going to happen. If you want to see life transformed through Jesus Christ to the glory of God, it doesn't just happen somehow. It happens because people take the gospel to others. Our gospel came to you not simply with words. It didn't come not simply with words, but it did come with words. It's not enough for us to say, well, you know, I'm just going to live out my Christian life and hope somehow they pick up the fact that I'm a Christian. No, it comes with words, not simply with words, but it came with words. For me, it came for over 18 months with words. I went to a Bible study and youth group for 18 months. I heard the words until the Holy Spirit convicted me of my need. Some people, it takes one encounter. Most of us, it takes a number of encounters with God's word until we are saved. But they need to know what the gospel is. But it also came with power and the Holy Spirit. Our gospel came to you and not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit. You can be the best preacher in the world and nothing happens. I've had some of the best sermons and no one responds. I've had some terrible sermons and they'll give their life to Jesus. I think, what in the world? That guy didn't even preach the gospel properly. But the Holy Spirit takes hold of what is preached and brings new life. Like that fellow in prison I mentioned right at the beginning. Here he is. Violence man. He does the Alpha Course and hears about God's love. And as he prays, the Holy Spirit just brings new life and he's filled, he's different. And when you come to Christ, that's what happens. You're different. But it came with deep conviction as well. Scholars think it's probably a reference to the conviction of the preachers. Words, the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. Friends, we want evangelists, we want Nowy Baptist members to share the gospel with deep conviction. That God can change lives. God can transform lives. Oh, maybe it might happen. No, believe that God can do something. And be passionate about sharing that gospel. Whether, I was just thinking of some opportunities the Lord has given me recently at our vet, at the podiatrist, at a football ground, on radio. Wherever it happens to be ready to believe that we need to share the gospel with deep conviction that people will come to Christ. And when there's a deep conviction in your heart, you're praying, you're sharing the gospel, and people get saved. Finally, the gospel came via authentic believers. You know how we lived among you for your sake. Words, the Holy Spirit with deep conviction, and a lifestyle. And so the Thessalonians saw how Paul and his mates lived. The authentic Christ-like believers, right? Christ-like maturity, a passion for ministry. And they thought they were authentic. They weren't hypocrites. They weren't deceivers. They just weren't pretending. They were genuine believers. In verse 6, they welcomed the message. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. they are welcomed the message in spite of severe suffering. Friend, sometimes when, I don't know about you, when you come to Christ, you see a family divided. Sometimes friendships become strained. Sometimes communities divide. And persecution becomes a daily reality. I have lived it. Some of you have lived it. But they welcomed it with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes when you come to Christ and when lives are transformed, I just picture that criminal running through the yard, right, with dangerous people who'd want to take him out and kill him. You say, oh, you'll believe it. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm forgiven. God's real. Jesus is real. When's the last time you share the gospel with someone with such life and joy? That's like you talk, oh, you know, I believe what Jesus did for me. He took me, transformed me. It's amazing. You should meet him. The joy of the Holy Spirit. So do you have that joy? Is Christ enough for you no matter what happens? And then they become imitators of the apostles and of the Lord. You become imitators of us and of the Lord. They accepted the truth, transformed behavior. As the apostles lived Christ-like lives, they started to live Christ-like lives. And then they became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. And so you became a model. In other words, so transformed by the gospel were they. Life transformed through Jesus Christ to the glory of God. So transformed they were that everyone heard about them. People say, did you hear about the new believers in Thessalonica? I mean, they're down in Achaia and other parts of Macedonia. Say, we've heard the story. We've heard about these guys. What's happened? Jesus has changed your lives. And in verse 8, the Lord's message thundered out from them. Keep that word in your mind. The Lord's message thundered out from them. It says, the Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. The Greek words rang out, exakeo, occurs nowhere else in the New Testament, but the weaker verb, they say, ekeo, relates to the noise of a resounding gong off the roaring sea. The word is also used of a great thunder. You get the meaning. I like that. It said, the way in which you've lived, it's like the message has thundered out. A little while ago, there was massive storms in Sydney. And remember one morning, it thundered. Like, it was like an earthquake. And everyone's up going, the dogs are barking, the cats are frightened, and everyone wakes up. I remember that morning, it thundered out. And I thought, wouldn't it be good if we so lived the gospel and loved the gospel? And the message went out from Nowhee Baptist. It's like thundered out. Everyone goes, well, I need to go to Nowhee Baptist. I've heard the gospel is transforming lives. They have this message at Nowhee Baptist. Where is that place? It thunders out. Where is it? Where did the thunder come from? Come and hear the gospel. You know, when God is doing a powerful work in a church and lives have been transformed, people get drawn to it. They hear about it. They want to know more about Jesus. How come his life was changed? I remember 20 years ago, a friend of mine, John, and some of you who were here 20 years ago might remember, he was 39. He'd just came back to the Lord. He was a great friend of mine. He had had cancer, died within a year. But he came back to the Lord and he was saved. His life was transformed through Jesus Christ. He was living for the glory of God that last year. He said to me, Andrew, I don't know whether I've got 6 months or 12 months, but I want to live my life for the glory of Jesus. I've known this gospel. I've pushed it out of my life. I want to make the gospel central in my life. He started evangelizing his friends. People think, well, John's gone religious, right? He's gone into this Jesus thing. And his kids were at a Greek Orthodox school at St. Euphemia at Bankstown. And when you're in a Greek community, right? And where's John? And everyone knows he's got cancer and he's dying, but John now loves Jesus and John has this confidence and now John's talking to people about Christ and his kids are at the school and all of a sudden people are talking about Nowhee Baptist Church where John goes, where he's heard the gospel and his life's been transformed. So much so that my brother saw me one day and said, mate, what's going on down at Nowhee? Keep running all these Greek people and say, oh, I hear your brother's the pastor at that church at Nowhee. What's going on down there? They reckon it's a really good church. So half the Greek community was hearing about our church because one believer was living for Christ, transformed by the gospel. It thunders out. Friends, when your life is changed, when new lives are changed and the word gets out, so-and-so now goes there. So-and-so, oh, really? I've been at functions and funerals sometimes, and people walk in and they look around and think, oh, that person from Pecos Public is here. That person from Pecos Public is here. Or maybe Pecos South now. That person from Pecos South is here. Wherever they're from, and they go, oh, right, they're Christians too. They're Christians too. And all of a sudden the word gets out that it's okay to be a Christian. We're normal. We've been transformed by Jesus Christ, and we live new lives with purpose and a new direction. Thunders out. And their testimony was clear and impressive. They tell how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus Christ, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Friends, they turn from God to idols. No longer worshipping statues, idols, but worshipping the true and living God. What's your idol? Money, career, pleasure, beauty, family? God knows whom you worship. God knows who is your primary delight. Is it God or is it something else? Do you have another idol? Kill those idols, I say, in 2020. Turn and serve the true and living God. And then wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Again, they're looking forward to the coming again of Christ. They're saved, they're living for the true God. They know Jesus, who has been resurrected, will come and rescue them in the coming wrath. Let me sum up. A God-glorifying church lives in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. They magnify God. It's about his glory, not ours. The spread of his fame and the glory of his name. It is distinguished by faith, hope, and love. Faith works. Hope endures. Love labours. Authentic Christian disciples who are mature like Christ and involved in ministry. Is loved and chosen by God. They are members of God's true church. They receive and transmit the gospel. They're always on mission, thundering out the gospel that others too might meet Jesus Christ. Friends, may God help us to live these lives, this type of life, for God's glory this year. Let me pray. Lord God, thank you for your love. Thank you for the example of the Thessalonian church. We pray, Lord God, that you so fill us with your Spirit, fill us with such joy in you and knowing you and living for you and just living for the glory of your name, that we would be transformed, we would see other lives transformed, and that the gospel would thunder out from this place, that many would come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. We pray in his name for his glory. Amen.